Log Talk Radio.
Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means it's time for Stunt Track with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and the one and only Leslie Hotman. Hello?
Hello.
Okay. And the one and only Leslie Hotman. Leslie's up in Saranac Lake. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
I'm doing fine. Actually, as opposed to a weather report, the best thing that happened this week, we're still under quarantine. The battery in my car died, and it had to be jumped, and they wanted me to drive it for at least 30 minutes. But technically, I'm not even supposed to go off the premises. But the guy that runs Will Rogers said, you can drive the car around for a half an hour as long as you don't stop and get out anywhere. So I forget what day it was already, but I actually got to drive my car for a half an hour all around Saranac Lake, and it was the best thing in the world. You got to realize I've been locked up for probably 2 months now.
So you were kind of like a dog hanging your head out the window.
Oops, you're kind of like, yeah. Well, I didn't even roll down the windows because I didn't, you know. Basically, he did a special favor allowing me off the property, you know, and that he said, you know, promise me you're not going to stop anywhere. I didn't even want to roll down the windows and, you know, you never, again, it's a town of 5,000. You don't know who's going to see you where and what's going to get back to Will Rogers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, actually, because I was born and brought up here, I know where all the back roads are. So for the half an hour of driving that I did, I actually was on back roads. I was never in the middle of Saranac Lake. So that was even more fun to be on the back roads because you're almost in country, you know. Or I'm already in country, but it was, like I say, roads that normally people don't drive on in Saranac Lake. I mean, usually you're downtown.
Now, did it snow up there, or how was the weather?
No, I don't think it snowed this week. In fact, we had the opposite yesterday. It probably wasn't even 60 degrees, but it was maybe in the 50s. I don't know. I haven't checked, but it was so hot in this building. This building just, I don't know what it, well, it's an old building, and however they built it, I mean, I was, I've been allowed to go back to my mother's room now for a week, over a week. I couldn't even leave my room, which means my 92-year-old fragile mother, I could not even go down to her room for 8 days.
Wow. Well, at least they lifted that. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, you know, I bought her some fans because I guess, well, I was in her room. I mean, it just, it's like an oven. Probably California's laughing about what I'm talking about. But, I mean, it was just hot. I even came up to my room after I got the fans from my mother's room, and even with the windows open, was letting the warm air in. I mean, it was hot in here.
Yeah, it's funny what we consider hot compared to what Charles considers hot. Charles is out in Las Vegas. Why don't you tell us about hot, Charles?
Hey, it's only low 90s right now. As Jim said, he had to turn the air conditioning on. It's like, I don't think my air conditioning even turns off right now. I got a room AC, and I don't think that thing barely goes off all because of our sudden heat wave. But I understand what you mean, Leslie, about driving. A couple times a week, or unless I get a bonus drive, like today, having to go get cat food. It's a couple of times a week that I get to go out. It's like, oh, man, I get to go driving. I actually had to drive out to a farm 10 miles. Like, wow, that was a lifelong drive.
Yeah, well, exactly. Is that, I don't know how many miles I technically drove, but to drive, I mean, I tried to get back right at the half an hour. Maybe I was 5 minutes over, but to just drive for 35 minutes was, it was ecstasy. I mean, it was.
I go take my morning walks on the occasions when I do get out to drive. And I actually extra careful watch drivers. Some are not intensive, but some of them are just like, okay, we're not going up to full. That road's 45. Doesn't guarantee everybody's going to drive at 45. Some people are going to drive at 40 because they're not used to being on the road.
Oh,
well,
yeah. I can't
I
think
get
of
to
what,
go to
what
work
is that,
tomorrow.
95? Yeah. What's the big, whatever you want to call it, freeway, throughway? What number is that one?
We have Interstate 15. And we have Interstate 15, the U.S. 95, and 93-95.
Yeah, I mean, you should be doing, well, depends on
no,
what
I'm
time
talk,
of the day and how much traffic,
no, no, I'm
but,
talk,
I mean,
I'm
you could be zooming
main
through Vegas at 65 miles an hour.
Oh, no, I'm talking about doing the 45 through the heart of town. I'm not even on a freeway. I'm just on one of the major road doing that. Yeah, I've seen it freeway once.
I think someone else wants to get on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
you
actually
get the park report in.
I get to go to work tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow's my week on, so I get to work 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, so I get to go to a building and hang out. I'm really excited.
Well, yeah, you get to actually leave the house.
Yeah, I get to go somewhere. And
are they going to make you wear a mask, or is it has Vermont lifted wearing masks?
No, we have all kinds of new restrictions, and I have to take a VOSHA safety test on proper equipment and all this other stuff, so that'll probably take me about an hour to take the test, and I got to wear gloves, and I got to wear a mask, and all this other stuff. But I get to get out of the house, and hopefully qualify for
the.
I hope that I qualify for the $600 a week hazard pay, because I'm considered essential. The state of Vermont just passed that law, and hopefully that's me. So, and I'll get that, but I also have with me my longtime buddy. Him and I went to elementary school together, actually. And he's down in Albany, New York. How you doing tonight, Ken?
I'm pretty good.
Almost got up to 80 here.
Wow.
That's
wow.
That's a massive 78. Heat wave.
Almost cracked 80.
Wow. Wow,
well,
we hit 70 here.
Sitting at the desk with the you know, with the window open all the way, pretty much all day.
Wow, it's amazing how the temperature is so different across the country, isn't it?
Yeah,
just awesome.
Yeah. Well, I say with the way the again, I really doubt that we were any more than 50 yesterday, but. Tomorrow, the maintenance men, they have the weekend off. The maintenance men will be in tomorrow. I mean, I got to have them, well, they take the air conditioners out during the wintertime because air conditioners stick out and you have snow and ice that would fall and build up on them. So they pull them out of the window. So tomorrow I'm going to try to see if the maintenance guys will at least put air conditioners back in at least my mother's room and my room.
Well, you know what? Why don't you bribe them with an autographed picture from the Nightmare on Elm Street? I'm sure they would jump at that.
I don't think so.
No? wait a minute. They don't know who the Leslie Hoffman is?
I don't think anybody in this building other than the head guy really realizes the background or where I come from. I say we play Trivial Pursuit and they have a silver screen edition. Everyone, you know, wants the blue regular card read, and I always ask for the silver screen card. And these people don't realize why I'm asking for silver screen. You know, television or movies. And then it's like, well, sometimes, maybe this isn't right for me to do, but they'll start reading a question. Like last Friday, it was, what Disney movie did Kirk Douglas, and she starts to say, sing, and before she can end the sentence, I go, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Well,
I mean, I just know that.
Well, Leslie, what happens when there's a question and you're the answer?
Ooh.
Wait, I'm waiting for the operator to catch up. Or say that
you
again.
Know,
what happens?
What happens when they ask a question and the answer is Leslie Hoffman?
Unfortunately, the Trivial Pursuit cards they have were last printed in like 1979, 1980. So there's no Leslie Hoffman card. Well, other than like you say, when they say two of them in Star Trek, or what color is Vulcan blood? That was the question one time, and another one was, how many times on Star Trek did they say, beam me up, Scotty? I mean, and those weren't even my questions. Those were questions for other people. And it's like, you got to be kidding. Well, again, I know the answer to those questions, and these 85-year-old plus people just look at me. It's like, how do you know this answers?
Because
I used to work on Star Trek.
Because I'm the Leslie Hoffman. That's why I know. Well,
I am somebody.
I am somebody. So we have a good show planned for you guys tonight. I was talking with Leslie this afternoon, and we decided we're going to talk about easy stunts. No way, Jose. So we're going to talk about stunts, and even the simplest stunt that looks so easy on TV or in a movie really isn't. So Leslie's going to share some of her stories with us about some of the stunts that she has done that were either really easy and turned out to be difficult or, you know, just didn't go as planned. So since we're called Stunt Treks, Leslie, why don't we start off with the obvious? And let's start off with Star Trek. Right? Makes sense. So let's start off with some of the stunts that you've done on Star Trek. Now, you worked on Deep Space Nine and Voyager. Did you work on Enterprise at all? Did you work on Enterprise?
I didn't work on Enterprise, and do you remember what years it ran from? I'm trying to think if I was still in California or during the run. I think it was only a four-year run. I might have moved back to New York already.
I think it was, 2005 to
2001. No. 2001 to 2005.
2005, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, well, actually, at that point, I had decided that I was disabled. I knew my timing was off, having headaches and things like that. So, at that point, like I say, I was disabled.
But you did work on...
No, I did not work on Enterprise. Tom worked on...
But you did work on Voyager
and...
But you did work on Voyager and Deep Space Nine. So, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I worked on Voyager and Deep Space Nine. I was still living... I moved back and forth between New York and California I don't know how many times. And I missed... the Next Generation, because I was still in New York at that time. I mean, I came out maybe, I'm trying to think, 93 or 94, something like that. So that might have been like the last season for Next Generation and Deep Space Nine just starting, but Dennis didn't hire me on Next Generation, but he did hire me on Deep Space Nine. On Deep Space Nine.
Well, let's start with Deep Space Nine then, and some of the stunts that you did on Deep Space Nine.
I tried to, as opposed to doing, I was trying to narrow it down to where things go wrong. With Deep Space Nine, I really don't remember. The one stunt that you could say was a little strange was when the final episode, when I went down the staircase, the stunt fall wasn't any problem. We've talked about it. It was the bomb that came down and exploded in this little hot flame, landed near my hand, but I was supposed to be dead, so I had to lay there with this thing just, I could feel it. I mean, I didn't have a burn spot on my hand. It didn't hit my hand, but it was close enough to my hand that, you know, it's just burning. It's, you know, you really want to move your hand away from this, but you're hoping that they're going to yell cut before you can't stand the heat anymore.
Gee, Leslie, you don't keep your hand on the stove all the time?
Afraid not. Or one of the fads in California, I don't know if it happened in Las Vegas also, was actors... Well, or people in California decided that walking on hot coals was a big fad back in the 90s, I think. Or was it? I don't remember. I kept going back and forth. I don't know. Do you remember that fad? Do any of you remember that fad?
Oh, I remember the fad. We didn't have to do hot coals. gee, let's walk on the sidewalk in July with your bare feet. That's about the same as walking on bare coals. Let's say it's 110 outside and you decide to walk on the sidewalk in your bare feet. Yeah, you are going to burn your feet. I've done it.
Yeah, the house that I had in California, there actually was sort of an asphalt driveway in the backyard. And let's say I wanted to go out to grab the dog or something, and I go out barefooted, and boy, your feet would be burning.
Yes. Exactly.
Kind of like walking on the hot sand at Coney Island. Same difference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that too. Right, right. Going to the beach and walking on the sand. Ow.
So, Leslie, walk us through. You were playing the part in Deep Space Nine of Mila. She was the Cardassian housekeeper. And they come and kill you and throw you down the stairs, and your body tumbles down the stairs, and Major Kira and Dumar and Garrick are down in the basement, and your body comes down there. And then the Cardassians throw a hand grenade down there, and then they come down and arrest everybody. So walk us through the setup, the preparation, and the safety protocols that are put in place to do that stunt.
I gotta admit, that was definitely Dennis Matalone went to the production meeting, and you know, each department talks about something, and I guess whatever department, well, I don't know if it was talked, since I wasn't there, I don't know what happened, but originally they just wanted to build either a metal staircase or, you know, let's say a wooden staircase painted like silver to be a metal staircase, and they were talking about banisters and things like that. And because I was a dead body, you know, I can't be repositioning my body as I'm going down the staircase. And Dennis made it very clear to everybody at the production meeting that the staircase was going to have carpet on it. Underneath the carpet was going to be carpet padding. Instead of a banister, it was like every third step had, I don't know what you would call the vertical part of what would a staircase would be, you know. I don't remember if it had a rope or something, you know, technically to be the banister. But that was all Dennis's doing. I mean, he did not want me banging my head or my body on sharp objects. But like I say, who would have thought? So the stair fall was absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm used to doing stair falls. So thanks to Dennis, no injuries in the stair fall. But like I say, with special effects, who was going to realize that when they blew the bomb, that this little speck of whatever it was that was still burning would fall near my hand. I guess I was lucky that it didn't fall on my hand, because I would have said ouch or you know, to get burned. To actually get burned, I probably would have moved my hand just out of, you know, you don't want, that hurts.
So is that, so, you know, even, was that the
even
only take?
What Dennis, what's that?
Was that the only take of that scene? If we watch the episode, what, can we see that scene,
right,
or did they do a retake?
I only had to do the stair, well, The whole stunt was only done once. Like I say, the stair fall was nothing. That was one scene. Then the explosion Well, I'm pretty sure it was done in two shots. You got this is getting to be a long time ago now. Probably the second shot was me just laying on the ground and having the explosion go off. And like I say, here I'm just laying on the ground. I don't even have to do a stunt other than to lay there. And all it takes is a little piece of fire coming off of the bomb and landing near you. It could have landed on top of me.
Now, how did they do that, Leslie? Did they do that with squid?
Again, it's getting to a point that I don't remember what they did. They probably had a very large squib. It's been so long, I don't even remember, is that I know there's a shot of the round ball sitting down the staircase, but they didn't explode that round ball, so it had to be some kind of, I don't know what to call it, fire pot, squib, whatever, near me, that they exploded in a different scene.
Wow. Well, at least you didn't get burnt. That's the good thing.
Yeah. But it was quite memorable. The other thing, it didn't involve me, I don't know how to say it, is that it wasn't a stunt that I was doing. It was that Dennis left me as the stunt coordinator on Bada Bing, Bada Bang. One of the crew people, one of the special effects people, had a pizza paddle. There was A-frame ladder, pizza paddle, and the paper money that was supposed to be floating down around the room that everyone was grabbing, that was on the pizza paddle. He was at the top of the ladder, and he's shaking it, and having the money float down. Well, they're setting up for another shot, and they start moving the camera that's on this huge, it's on a crane, which has it on a, like, I don't know, I'm doing really bad on words this evening. It's on a rolling cart, and they don't realize this camera on the crane, that the crane is running into the ladder and tipping it over with the special effects guy holding on to the pizza paddle and holding on to the ladder. Nobody sees it except me. I'm dressed up in 1950s dress in high heels. I see what's happening, and I go running up. I'm the only one, but I see it. I go running up to the ladder, and I just kind of leaned. I put my hand on either side of the A-frame ladder and just leaned into the ladder so it wouldn't tip over. And finally, some other people saw what was going on. They pulled the camera back, and other people came and straightened up the ladder, and the guy never fell off the ladder. It was really funny. The next day, Tom and I are walking down the street, and this guy, RJ, and Gary Monak, who's the head of special effects for Deep Space Nine, are driving by in a golf cart, and they stop to say hi to Tom and myself, and RJ goes, "She's my hero."
You know what? I can
that's what
tell
I'm
you
saying,
one thing.
Is that you can have on-set accidents that truly are accidents. I mean, somebody wasn't looking. They were just doing their job, and they didn't realize their job almost tipped over the ladder and could have injured another crew member.
Now, Leslie, in a case like that, was it a question of the stunt set not being mapped properly? I mean, they should have realized that the camera moving would have hit the ladder when they first...
Well, minute. It was that the camera department was moving the camera into the next shot. The guy on the special effects guy, you know, we're talking about different departments now. The special effects guy, I mean, he didn't think that he needed a safety watching him on the ladder. I mean, I don't, you know, like I say, I really would hate to say it was so-and-so's fault. I think everybody was busy doing their own job, and they didn't realize their job endangered another department. It was it truly was an accident.
They don't talk to each other, and they probably didn't think, well, maybe we should wait to move the camera until they're done.
You just don't think about that. I mean, it's like I'm making this up completely. This is maybe it has happened somewhere in the history of filmmaking, but let's say special effects gets on the set in between shots to freshen up the makeup on an actor, and maybe a light falls. Well, what, you know, they're not going to say, okay, everybody clear the room because we're moving this light around. Or on Voyager, where an overhead light blew and it caught the set on fire. I mean, that wasn't planned. It wasn't that somebody was even messing around with the lights. The light blew.
Well, Leslie, I can tell you for a fact that those people cruising around on Paramount Studio lots in those golf carts they're dangerous, and they got to be careful. My wife and I, Karen, were out there. A friend of ours had a job working on Star Trek, and so we had a pass to visit. We're just walking around looking at all the cool stuff, and all of a sudden, we turn this corner, and this golf cart comes whipping around the corner. And who's driving the golf cart? Sam Elliott. And me and my wife, Karen, are just standing there, and he almost hits us and knocks my wife down. He jumps out of the golf cart, and he comes over and helps her. Oh, sorry, I didn't see you. Is everything okay? I apologize. Well, me and Karen were like, oh, my God, that's Sam Elliott. That's Sam Elliott. You got run over by Sam Elliott. And we were like more thrilled at the fact that Sam Elliott almost killed us than we were that we almost got hit. So, you know.
Well, that part, I'll say, you know, whether you're on a bicycle or on a golf cart, it's the same thing as driving a car down the road. I mean, yeah, you got to be respectful or careful for pedestrians. You just don't go zipping around. Like I say, even a bicycle, you just don't go zipping around. I mean, you gotta look in all directions as you're, well, like I say, a bicycle isn't even a motor vehicle, but you just, if you're going faster than walking, well, two people could accidentally walk into each other too. I mean, you know, you just got to be prepared to look all around you when you move around anywhere, not even a movie set, anywhere.
But Sam Elliott, how cool is that, you know?
Well, you should have let him hit you. You could have sued him for $1 million.
I could have asked him for an autograph. Our friend told us that we had to be cool and pretend we belonged there so we couldn't be tourists. So.
Right.
I think the fact that I was wearing a black satin Star Trek The Next Generation jacket covered in Star Trek pins was probably already not a good thing to do. But anyway. So if this was today and I had my phone with a camera, I definitely would have got a picture with him. But this was way back in the 90s, and we didn't have a camera. So, Leslie, you also worked on Star Trek Voyager as a stunt double for for Belana Torres, Roxanne Dawson. And
Yeah. Now, in that case, there were different things. On the one called Memorial, where people are seeing the villagers being killed, I don't know how to describe it, a young stuntman was told to fall next to me, and instead he fell on top of me. Well, you know, when I fell, my leg came up, and when he fell on top of my leg and bent it all the way to my derriere. And I mean, well, I wasn't about to tell them that he injured my knee, but he did injure my knee by, you know, hyperextended. It sounds like you're going in the other direction, but, you know, just landing on somebody's knee and pushing it to their rear end. I mean, he hurt my knee, but again, this is the unfortunate thing about this business, is you don't want to claim that you've been injured on the set, because then people aren't going to hire you, because they're going to remember you got injured on the set. So even though he hurt my knee, you know, I didn't tell anybody about it. Well, I think Tom knows about it, but I mean, he really wrecked my right knee when he did that. On an episode called Extreme Risk, on Remember, which also was sort of a flashback thing where someone put a memory in Belana's mind, we were practicing that this person was supposed to run by Torres and just brush by her, and she was supposed to fall down. Well, we were practicing, so we're not even on the set. We're on the cement floor of the soundstage. Dennis has this stuntman. You know, he wants to see what it's going to look like, and he wants to just practice this guy running by me, brushing by me, knocking me down. Well, this guy doesn't brush by me. He basically, if you know what clothesline means, is he hit the top of me so hard, I went up in the air, and my feet went up higher than my head. The next thing I knew, I hit my head on this other stunt person who was watching. Foot. At first, I was really angry at the stuntman that stuck out his foot that my head hit, but then I realized later he basically probably saved my life or saved me from going to the hospital or whatever, because the other choice is had I hit my head on the cement floor, the injury would have been, or I really would have been injured. Again, neither of these were Dennis's fault. I mean, like I say, Dennis is extremely safe. He sets up stunts, except that I'll go to Extreme Risk, is at the very beginning of Extreme Risk, where Torres feels bad that she didn't die with the rest of the Maquis, so she's taken the safety off of the holodeck. And the very beginning of that episode is she's jumping out of this, I don't know, what did they call it, extra, like, stratosphere ship. She's jumping out of it. But what she's wearing is a motorcycle helmet that sticks way out in front, and her costume has, I guess, an oxygen pack on the back. Now, it was only a 3-foot fall, but if I hit stomach down, that helmet would have whipped my head backwards and hurt my neck. If I fell on my back, that fake oxygen pack on my back could have broken my back. There was an actor who was doing a student film who decided he was going to do his own stunts, and he was a soldier, and he gets shot, and, you know, he just thinks he's going to fall down. And what he didn't realize is that he had, you know, when I say canteen, I don't mean the round Boy Scout ones. It was, I don't know what to call it. It's not a cylinder. Like I say, World War One kind of canteen. But he landed on top of it, and he injured his back severely. Anyways, so going back to Extreme Risk, you know, I asked Tom. Dennis wasn't coming up with a solution. This was a week before I did the stunt. And I asked Tom, and Tom said, well, just stagger the pads, that your helmet goes down to the lower pad and your body lands on top of the two pads. I mean, it was such a simple fix that you don't even think about it. But then I get on the set that day, I stagger the pads, I come back to do the stunt, and here's a stuntman who's taken a furniture pad, he's folded it up, and he's put it in the lower staggered area. I'm going, who did this? You know, I had to pull the furniture pad off, you know, to create that space again. And then the last Voyager one, which was, it was funny, but everybody got scared, is I had to rappel down the side of this cliff. And actually, Andy Robinson, Garrick, was the director of the episode. Again, all precautions were taken. But, you know, we filmed it a couple of times where George Colucci, doubling Neelix, and myself go, well, and then, that's interesting. I can't think of who was doubling Tom Paris. There were three of us on the cliff. But, you know, we go over the edge and start rappelling down. We're supposed to stop because there's dialogue, and then we continue. But anyways, so we shot it a couple times of going over the edge, and Andy didn't like, I guess, the position I was in, and he said, could you move over 3 feet and, you know, start from that point, you know, start going off the cliff from 3 feet over. Well, unbeknownst to me, the way they built the cliff, there was like this indent in the cliff's wall. And when I went over the edge, my foot went into this indent, and my knee collapsed. And the rope came down. So let's say my right leg has collapsed against the cliff, but my left leg is still at the top of the cliff, plus the rappelling rope has come across the arch of my left foot. So I'm upside down, hanging upside down, and I can't get myself loose because my own body weight is holding my foot in place. And everybody starts screaming, get her down, you know. And finally, the special effects man at the top of the cliff looks over the edge to see what everyone's screaming about. And I said, could you give me my foot back? And he just kind of stood up and you know, pulled up on the rope with all his weight or all the power that he could do, and he was able to lift the rope up enough that I was able to pull my foot out. And so Dennis is screaming, bring her, you know, come on down, come down. And I'm going, no, you know, because the shot we were doing was actually we were already supposed to be in the spot for the dialogue. I said, No, we were in the spot for the actual fall that Neelix and Torres does, and I said, no, I'm fine. Let's just do the stunt, and they went ahead and we did the stunt, and you know I wasn't injured, but you know, well, I guess it's like any of us. It's like riding a bicycle or running or something, and there's a hole or an indent in the ground that you don't expect, and the wheel of the bicycle hits into the hole or the rut or your foot goes into the hole. I mean, again, it wasn't that it was poor planning. It was that you didn't realize this hole was here.
Now, what we were in other movies that I happen to have enjoyed myself. A lot of people probably didn't even see it, but I remember seeing it at the drive-in as a double feature along with Tom Hanks' movie called Bachelor Party. And I'm talking about Stortus School. And it's a movie that I enjoyed. What happened on that, on the set of Stortus School?
Stortus School was, unfortunately, Wendy Jo Sperber, who I doubled in I Want to Hold Your Hand and 1941, she was pregnant at the time, and she didn't want people to know. But she also felt that I was the best stunt double for her. And the stunt coordinator, well, I guess all stunt coordinators sort of have the obligation to say, is there a person that has stunt doubled you before? And in this case, Wendy Jo Sperber said, yes, I want Leslie Hoffman to be my double. Well, this stunt coordinator didn't know me, and he wasn't happy that he was being told by an actress to use me. So first he doesn't even call me up, and maybe a week before the movie started filming, Wendy contacts me. Have you been contacted, you know, to work on Stewardess School? And I said, no. You know, I haven't heard anything. So she must have done something where they hired me. And this stunt coordinator pulled several tricks trying to injure me. I mean, that is really sad when a stunt coordinator purposely tries to injure a person. The first thing he did was, I was supposed to jump out of this airplane into this pool of water. It doesn't really make sense. Well, oh, okay, I remember what the thing was, is that, you know, they had the rubber slide, but this other person that was training to be a stewardess is taking people and throwing them out of the plane instead of having them slide down the rubber slide. So the stunt coordinator paid extra money for his stunt people to practice on one of these air rams that it launches, as opposed to one of those little mini tramps. It's mechanical and it launches you when you step on it. Well, if you step on it wrong, it could break your knees. In this case, we were, you know, in the opening of an airplane door. I mean, if you hit the thing and it throws you straight up, you're going to hit your head on the airplane. Okay, so he paid a day's wage for people to come to his place to practice on this air ram. He didn't invite me, but he had his guys there. So we get on the set, and besides that, I'm wearing spiked high heels because that was part of the gag, is that she pops this boat that they're supposed to be landing in. The director comes up to me and says, you know, can you go off the air ram as well? Well, I had no practice on an air ram, and I just said no. You know, I had to stand up for myself. So I refused to go off the air, Ram. I mean, the director didn't get mad at me, but in my heart, I bet stunt coordinator was wishing I was going to fail or injure myself or, you know, so he could put his person in. And then the other stunt in stewardess school was her getting sucked down the aisleway of the airplane because a bomb went off and made a hole in the airplane. I was on piano wires in a harness, and I was supposed to be doing backflips, which they superimposed on the aisleway of the airplane. I don't know. Does that make sense, what I'm describing? Anyway, she was supposed to be doing these flips as she's being sucked out of the airplane. And now in this case, we did have a day's practice. On the day's practice, they put the harness on me correctly, and I'm doing backflips no problem. The day of shooting, they didn't tie the harness on my thighs. So I'm actually sitting lower in the harness, and they're yelling action, and I can't throw a backflip because now the center of gravity is higher up on me, so I'm not top-heavy. You know, in other words, I can't lean backwards and go spinning. You know, so that was, to me, I feel that was done on purpose as well. I mean, I tried several times, could not throw the backflip. The director's getting a little annoyed. I have them lower me down. I mean, I sort of knew what my problem was, but I didn't know enough about the harness. So I got them to put foam pads in the bottom part of the harness that I was sitting up higher in the harness. And, you know, they pulled me back up again, and I kept doing backflip after backflip until the director yelled cut. But again, that's the danger of a stunt coordinator that wants to hurt you.
Wow, they don't have a union rep there to make sure that doesn't happen?
Oop, wait a minute, they don't. No. No, the stunt coordinator's there for safety. So when the safety director or coordinator or whatever, who is the stunt coordinator, is trying to kill you, there's no one there that can save you, only yourself.
Wow. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. No, Ken. They're I mean, I've had stunt people. This is when I was first getting into the business. There was this extra that was hoping to become a stuntman, and maybe he was part of the reason, but again, what they did wasn't very nice, is that, you know, it was a barroom brawl, and they beat him up for real. Or actors that decided they could ride horses themselves, they would loosen the cinch on the horse that the saddle would, you know, fall off or rotate with an actor on it. I mean, don't think that all stunt coordinators are safe stunt coordinators. They'll hurt you.
Wow. Hey, Ken, before we run out of time, do you have anything you want to ask Leslie?
No, really. I'm just enjoying listening to all this stuff. So it's like, I mean, you know, yeah, it's fascinating because, yeah, and I'm glad she talked about what she talked about at the end. I mean, you don't need somebody who's doing that on purpose, not for stunts. I mean, they're dangerous and hazardous a lot of the time, such as it is you get somebody who's a little maniacal and doing that on purpose, that really screws things up for everybody.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, you know, well, again, you know, if you don't belong to their stunt group, well, women don't belong to either of the, or the, actually now there are several, but when I was in the business, there were two all-men stunt groups. I mean, so if you weren't sleeping with one of them or married to them or whatever, and they didn't know who you were or they didn't like you or... like say they were forced to use you because you were requested, they'll hurt you. And the sad part is, well, they tried this in the 80s and they were successful like a year ago, is they're trying to qualify stunt coordinators by days worked. Well, the stunt he's passed away. But this stunt coordinator that tried to kill me several times or hurt me several times, he would have qualified as a, whatever, an A-plus or, you know, a qualified stunt coordinator. So you know, this thing about days worked makes you a qualified stunt coordinator, to me, is a bunch of baloney. I mean, I think if you've had even one accident... it should be investigated, and well, the problem is everyone sticks up for everybody. So if the stunt person that was almost hurt were to say something, he/she would be blacklisted by all the stunt coordinators, and you get starved out of the business because you complained.
Wow, Charles. Yeah. Before we run out of time, did you have any questions you wanted to ask Leslie?
No, but she reminded me of a story. Leslie, did you ever hear of the Discovery series Mythbusters?
Oop, okay, I'm waiting for the operator. Reminds me of a story. Did you ever hear about,
Mythbusters.
No, what was with... Well, the operator wrote Discovery of the Hunters.
It was a series where sometimes you'd ask certain questions and they would research studying what would happen. You talked about safety and reminding me of this show, the fact that they were testing a reaction of a cannon. And they were shooting at the police bomb range, and they ran into a case where the bomb, cannonball missed, went over the target, and went through a couple of homes. And they actually had to shut down production for several weeks, investigate the situation, and realize, okay, this is no longer a safe place to be doing these kind of tests. And they had to move on, and they had to move on a desert area away from homes. But that just happens to be like, okay, you build your home near the bomb squad, bomb range. Yeah, safety still is a high priority. Something happens. You've got to be very careful.
Yeah, I mean, again, the best thing I can say is, even when you think you have safety or someone who says they're the safety coordinator or this is safe, you gotta make the decision for yourself.
Well, believe it or not, Leslie, you know what time it is?
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock. It's 7, at least my clock is saying 7:58 already, so... we could do part two of this next week if you want.
Yeah, we still have a lot to cover.
I gave you a bunch of other shows.
It's time to make the donuts. So I want to say thank you to Ken for hanging out with us tonight from Albany. Thank you, Ken.
No problem.
And I also want to say thank you to Charles for hanging out with us as well. Thank you, Charles.
Well, nothing to do, and Leslie's stories are always fun.
That is true. And also, we have to say thank you to the one and only Leslie Hoffman, because without Leslie, we wouldn't have the show. So thank you, Leslie.
Well, thank you very much. What's interesting is that I can share these stories now, but if I was still working as a stunt woman, there's no way I could be telling you these stories.
Yeah.
Well, we
you know,
appreciate
if I wanted,
it.
If I wanted to work, to continue to work.
Well, we'll keep it between us, right, guys?
Go ahead. Nobody will know.
I say,
no,
I'm,
nobody
I'm
will.
Retired, so I can say anything I feel like now. They can yell at me, but what are they going to do to me? I don't think they're.
True.
I don't think they can find Saranac Lake to begin with, but I don't think they're going to come up here and shoot me or anything.
I don't think anybody can find Saranac Lake, to tell you the truth. That's
right, exactly.
I've been up Placid. I'm trying to remember if I've ever been through Saranac Lake before. I don't know.
Someone from New York City just asked me where Saranac Lake was, and I said 2.5 hours north of, well, I said 5 hours north of New York City, straight north. And he goes, is that Albany?
I said,
another 2.5 hours north above Albany.
I did have to actually,
oh,
I have
I
to correct
I just gave
the,
away where I live. But then again,
the
they don't know
in California because I had to use
Albany
it one of the
either.
So I looked it up on a map. I know where it is now.
Yeah, it's way up there. And I just want to let you guys know that on today is Sunday. On Tuesday, Charles and myself and Leslie will be back with our Volume 4 of The Sounds of Sci-Fi and Horror. We got some great stuff. We're going to hear from Weird Al Yankovic. We're going to hear from Journey. We're going to hear from Queen, some ZZ Top, and, of course, some classics from John Williams in honor of Star Wars. So you want to tune in for that because we got a lot of great stuff to play, a lot of songs that you may not have heard in a while, bring back some memories. And Thursday night on Trek Talking and Beyond, we're going beyond Star Trek, and we're going to be talking about Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the final season. So you want to check that out as well. So I'm Uncle Jim, and I want to say thank you to all my co-hosts, and thank you to each and every one of you out there that listened to us tonight. We couldn't do the show without you guys. Stop by the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page and say hello to Leslie. If you have any questions for her, she always gets back to you personally. If you have a show idea, drop us a line over there and we'll definitely give it a look. Make sure you visit us at Trek Talking and Beyond on Facebook as well. And drop a line to myself or Charles or the Admiral Ken, and we'll get back to you as well. So, without any further ado, thank you very much. I want everybody to be good to each other and stay safe, okay? Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there.